Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We are using today as a special day to kind of jump into a series that we're going to be in all throughout the year called Intentional. This series is one that we're going to be looking at seven times throughout the year. This would be the third installment of that already. And we're just going to kind of take a topic and look at it, spend some time thinking about it, and then, you know, come back to it a few weeks later. And so already in this series, we've looked at the need to be intentional about reading God's Word. We did that very early on in January. And then just a little while ago, we looked at the need to be intentional about sharing the gospel and what that means for us as a church to share the gospel with others. And so it is important for us to recognize that God wants to do some work in us, but there's a real need for us to also be intentional about what He wants to do in our lives. I'm really blessed by the fact that that many fifth and sixth graders got up this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm just having an ADHD moment. See, because I went to bed thinking, I'm going to be preaching to Tammy and Sutton and Corbin, and the band's even going to go get coffee. So this is all icing on the cake for me. But today, what I want to do in this next installment of looking at what it is to be intentional, I want to look at what it means to experience true community. True community. The biggest concern I heard raised when we mentioned that we were going to go to a multiple service format was, I won't be worshiping with everybody at one time anymore. That when we do this, that we won't see everybody at the same time. And so part of my question is, I recognize that's a big concern. But part of my question in my heart has been, is that really the best sign of true community, being in one room at one time with each other? Not that I discount that, I'm struggling through what does community really look like, and is that it? A few months ago now, back in the fall, we looked at this Greek word called koinonia. We spent a few weeks looking at this word, and I'm going to just have Matt put the definition back up on the screen that we looked at back then. Koinonia is this Greek word, when the New Testament was written, used to talk about fellowship and association with one another, community, joint participation. And this is the word that often is translated as fellowship in the Scripture, coming together, those kinds of things. And that's the idea of community that I see written about in Scripture all the time. So in the context of this being our very first Sunday, where we're worshiping two different times, I thought it might be an important topic for us to look at today of considering what does it mean to really have true and authentic community, true and authentic koinonia in our midst. Oftentimes, I find it interesting that when I meet those of you who attend for the very first time, you often say to me, I'm amazed at how many people I knew when I walked in the door here. You know, we come in, coming to a new church is risky, it's scary, it's difficult. And so I recognize that. Just like it is for me to go to the YMCA, I've mentioned that story many times. I go to the Y, I feel like everybody knows how to use the equipment, and I'm going to be the one that breaks it, you know, because I don't know how. Everybody knows each other, and I know nobody. And so the church is very similar. You know, we know where to go, we know where to put our kids, but guests, those of you who are here for the first time even, you're not sure how this all works. And so it can be very, very intimidating. But what I hear often is, I can't believe how many people I knew when I walked in the door. People from school, people from the neighborhood, people from Beakey's. You can't go to Beakey's and not find somebody from Flushing Community Church. It's just how it works. We never plan quick trips to Beakey's in my house. It doesn't happen. And Tim St. Sin is always one of them. So I say that, and I say, we have this strength, this inner core as a church. And I often respond to when people say that, our strength is our middle name, Flushing Community Church. I think I've been a church from day one that has been driven and focused on our middle name, on building community, but ministering to our community as well. So this is an important part of who we are. Even this afternoon when we go bowling, and the 80 or so that have signed up to go bowling, that event has been organized by a team called the Community Life Team. So we believe in community around here. We really do. But just believing it doesn't make it happen. I can have a mission statement, but that doesn't mean anything's going to change my life unless I actually make those things happen. And the same thing is true. We can believe in community here, but that doesn't mean that it's going to happen unless we are intentional about it. That's why it fits so well in the context of this series that we want to talk about, being intentional. Community is something that is born out of a sense of intentionality. There was a survey done recently that asked nearly 500 people, what do you think of when you think of the word community? And I read many of those responses, and there was a lot of repeated ideas. I wanted to highlight just a couple of them and see if you connect with this, and maybe you should also kind of think about what do you think of when you think of community. But one of the responses was people and an environment that make me feel happy, safe, and content. I thought that was pretty interesting. Happy, safe, and content. Another person responded, it's about belonging, a place that supports me in many ways. Another response was a sense of trust, mutual benefit. It consists of many different parts that must interact and collaborate together. And the final one that I wanted to highlight was, it's those people that I care about and who care about me. This tends to mean that we are joined by the bonds of affection and by a common passion or concern for one another. I thought those were very insightful words as people were thinking about what community really means for them. In your live event today, which I failed to mention at the beginning, if you have a phone and you have YouVersion on your phone, you can join our live event this morning. I put a question and two polls in there. Curious about your insight on this. Now, the question, when you respond to this question, it's something that I'll be able to see your response to, so I'm interested in your response. And the polls that you respond to, you'll actually be able to, in a live way, see how people are responding to that as well. But the question I asked was this: where do you experience the best community in your life? It might be work, it might be school, it might be within the context of your family, it might be in a small group, it might be here at church, it could be in interest groups like a golf league, a basketball league, or anything like that. So where do you discover, where do you experience those things that we were mentioning about what community is, a sense of belonging and caring and feeling happy and safe? Where do you experience the best form of community in your life right now? That's a question that I think we need to step back and look at, because once we know the answer to that in our own lives, then we need to step back and say, well, why is that true? What do I find there that I don't have anywhere else? And that will help us begin to develop how we view community. The poll questions I ask you are this: what grade would you give our church as it relates to community? And I give you several options that you could respond to, anywhere from it's great to, ooh, baby, something like that. I don't remember what I put, something along those lines. And then I asked the second question was, how would you grade your own personal experience with community? How do you rate your role in community in your life? See, some of us are, you know, people. We got to be around people all the time, or we're suffocating. Some of us are more introverted, and we just want to kind of be, you know, around but not really highly involved. And ironically, I find myself to be much more introverted, which is interesting as a pastor to be an introvert. It's kind of like an oxymoron at times, because you just can't be all the time. But it's just how I'm wired. So I'm wondering, how would you rate yourself, and how would you rate our church as it relates to community presently? Now, I have two distinct memories about community growing up, especially as it relates to the church. Growing up in the church, I was very, very blessed to have been raised in the church. This dates me, but churches used to have Sunday night services. Anybody remember that? We even met on Wednesday. Crazy, right? Some of you have been through that. So on Sunday nights, it was just a common theme. Where are we going? I don't know if you were raised in the church or had a similar experience, but on Sunday night church, the only reason I agreed to go was because I was going to go over to somebody else's house afterwards. Now, it wasn't the only reason, but yeah, it was pretty close. On Sunday night, the community got together. People wanted to go to their homes and share meals together and play cards and play games and let the kids run around. And it's a vibrant stamp in my memory of my childhood growing up in the church. I remember more experiences going to people's home after Sunday night church than I can tell you the messages a preacher preached. I can tell you that for sure. And so that's an indelible stamp in my heart about remembering community growing up. The second one was that nearly every Sunday through my teen years, I especially remember Jim Schwarzkopf, who was a high school principal in the area, but he also served faithfully in my church in Bluffton, Indiana, as the worship leader, the song leader. And Jim would get up and he would begin to sing this old hymn. Well, it's not really an old hymn. Bill Gaither wrote it. I mean, he's old, but it's not an old hymn. Bill Gaither wrote the song, The Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You guys remember this song? Anybody know this song? Wash in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. You didn't think I could sing. And then I always thought it was joined.